want to secure favor with God, the third principle is the tithe. T-I-T-H-E. How many of us have been taught in our churches and our different groups that tithe helps you to secure favor with God? Even those who have taught about tithe just preach about it because there are bills that need to be paid, and they say you need to pay your tithe. If you don't pay your tithe, you don't pay your tithe and see whether God will bless you. And you see the anger with which the man is preaching, and God tells you, please, please. Every church, every ministry, their prosperity is dependent on their own obedience to the principles of the kingdom. My prosperity as a minister of the gospel is not dependent on Koinonia people. Ah, that would have been a terrible way to live. I would have been frowning at you for every week. What did you drop last week? No. There are many men of God who are burdens to their congregations because they do not realize that their prosperity is tied to their own personal obedience. Can I be sincere with you? Many men of God don't tithe. Hallelujah. Many men of God don't tithe. They teach tithing. Do you know how long it took me as a man of God to be consistent in tithing? I want to be sincere with you. You know I fear God and I honor God. When I saw how difficult it was to tithe, with all the fear that I had for God, I said, man, that means many people, somebody is lying somewhere in this equation. It takes the giving grace to come upon your life. One, two, it takes you designing a system to make your tithing efficient. Are you getting my point? You don't tithe just, no. The first thing I want you to understand about tithing is that tithing is not a debt you are paying. Many people come before God with tithe. Help me with one of these envelopes. And they bring the tithe. Thank you. Don't worry. They bring the tithe and they just stand frowning. Okay, God, please, so you not harass me, take. And once they pray, they say it's blessed. Where you just drop it in the offering basket. Your tithe secures favor with God. You want to be on God's side, brothers and sisters. Not being on God's side is disastrous. It's not just about finances. There is a spirit called the devourer. It is alive and active in the earth. Hallelujah. I must talk about this. Your tithe is not the payment of a debt, because everything we own belongs to God. Your tithe is an acknowledgement. It's a documentation of your gratitude. You're saying, Lord, in obedience to you and for your faithfulness, I bring 10%. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Let me kneel down. Look at me. I'm kneeling down. Snap me so that you see it on the done. I'm dumbing with your phone. I'm pleading with you in the name of the Lord God. If you love God, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, be consistent in your time. See, I'm getting down on my knees and I'm begging you. You've been snapping, no, Joe. Okay, let me just hands up so that you know that I'm kneeling down. Be faithful. Don't think tithing is a gimmick by a preacher. I can tell you this. Ask the financial department. By the grace of God as a ministry, we do not owe God one naira. I don't care what collection is made for what. The tithe of God. Before anything happens, you really think we are running this ministry from the... Look, you know what you are dropping in the offering basket. At least you don't know your neighbor's home, but you know your own. You can't run ministry with things people are throwing. No. There is a mystery of divine supply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You must believe this. I was sharing some of the testimonies with Pastor Williams. Benefits of tithing. I remember one time we're just praying and trusting God. There were things here and there to get and all of that. And we were just saying, oh Lord, we thank you because we are tithers, we are faithful. Till today, I was sharing with you, Pastor. Till today, we do not know the person. We just got an alert, 1.5 million. by an unknown person we do not know into the ministry account. Whereas that's somebody's neighbor, somebody who is collecting 50,000. How much is his salary? That calculate it for more than 1 year for being faithful in time. I think I was talking to the protocol department. They went to purchase something in Abuja, and then I was talking to them. The mixer, we just got a better mixer, very good one. And then I was talking to them. I think it was someone on my birthday, pastor. Someone just, right? Yes. And the person just said, they just paid some money for their family that they were hoping, you know, 3.4 million naira. And the person just said, well, thank God for all the words you are speaking, the things you are teaching us, and was just sending the tithe and all of that. Let me tell you, when you see what we are doing, because I know many of you sit and wonder, how do these people really get money? Yes, God is faithful, but what is the 1+1 of it? Let me tell you, the 1+1 of it is what I'm teaching you here, the tithe. If you are not a faithful tither, God is not authorized to bless you. Stop wasting your time in praying and fasting for wealth. If you are not a tither, I want you to know the devourer will stand and stare at your face. If you like, put a Bible on your head. Prayer is not the seed for financial breakthrough. Prayer is the seed for fellowship with the Spirit and spiritual awakening and the presence of God and activating the anointing, not prosperity. Your time, your giving are the seeds for increase. Many people who want to be blessed will argue this thing. And you ask the person, how much do you have? How much has entered your hand that you are arguing? You are saying it's not correct. It's a terrible thing when you don't have results and you are still arguing. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. When you pay your tithe, you are securing favor with God. Please and please and please teach this to anyone you love and make up your mind from today. Your tithe is a tenth portion, one tenth of your income that secures open heavens, favor with God. Tithe, because it guarantees God's continuous favor in your life. I don't want to be outside of the favor of God. It's dangerous. It's a risky position. It's like being face to face with a lion. Imagine how many devils of darkness will want on their own to destroy my life. I found a place of refuge. I found a way of walking under an open heavens. Do you know the wickedness, the arrows that fly by day, the noisome pestilence? Do you know how many people want to see your downfall? If there is no spiritual way of keeping yourself standing, you will fall like a leaf. Are you getting what I'm saying? How many people use all their monies for sickness? All their monies for no open heavens? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I make up my mind to be faithful in tithing. Say it again, in the name of Jesus. See, the truth is, many of us are not consistent. Our tithing life is up, down, up, down. That's why today it looks like some doors of favor open up, and then tomorrow. It's not God's fault. J.C. Penney, many of you have heard about him. J.C. Penney, one of the multi-billionaires who love God. He was tithing, and at a point, something happened, and he said he wanted to experiment with God. He stopped tithing. That was how his business just nosedived like that, to a point that he was almost crashing. And he said, wow. And he started tithing. And that was how he got himself back. You better believe what I'm telling you. Many of our parents do not tithe from their salaries. They are collecting 150,000, yet they cannot afford 5,000. You ask them for 5,000, they will almost kill you because a devourer has eaten everything. In one day, two tires just patch and all the money has gone. Just when you are coming, something happens. Arrows that fly by day. And they now look and they say, sorry, you need this and that. You will be spent and all the money goes. Then, the moment the money goes, the person gets well by himself. The devourer. And you are praying and fasting and conducting night vigils and running around your parlor in the night. Rather than obedience that is better than sacrifice. Many of us can prefer to run marathon prayers from 11 to 6 to try to solve something that faithfulness in tithing. Many of our fathers have brought predicaments upon the family because they are not faithful in tithing. A solid building, a solid structure, small rain just comes and washes everything just when they wanted to finish the thing. Back to square one. There are even those that physical money disappears. Have you heard that story? Somebody keeps 1 million, he comes back and finds 780,000. Someone came for counseling. I've never had that thing. The woman said rats eat her money. No, serious. I'm not joking at all. Rats. You come in the morning and you see pieces of what sort of devil type. I think it was either Polenensho or Bishop David Oyedepo that shared something that some armed robbers came and they were going to, destroy a woman or capture one family. And the woman shouted, she took her tithe booklet, lifted it up and dropped it on the ground and said, God, watch the people match this booklet and come and touch me. At once, confusion came on the people. They were afraid and that was how they left. Brothers and sisters, what you do not believe will not work for you. Oh, I believe the word of God. I'm that minister of the gospel that believes every word of Jesus. Are you getting blessed? Leviticus 27 verse 30. Let's finish up on the issue of tithe very quickly. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Let me show you how the devil has been cheating many of us. Tithe heals you from greed. Everyone, let's read. One, two, read. Is the Lord's, and it is holy unto God. So when I take my tithe, I say, Lord, I'm documenting my gratitude. I honor you. I thank you. How many of our parents receive some money? Maybe one money that is spending, it just comes in 7 million, and they just calculate. Use calculator, 700,000. Me, go and give that man of God. I'm not stupid. Abba, 700,000. And you see the person arguing. And within 3 weeks, he has spent over 1 million naira on his health. Armed robbers will come and put a gun and say, we saw through the jars that we use that there's 7 million in this. I say, no, it's only 4. They will now slap you and say, truly, it's 7. Where is it? Say, that's it here. Take it and preserve my life. Whereas, the tithe of it. Have you seen how many of our family members put us in trouble? I say this, many of us keep wondering, why is my father working? Why is my mother working? The truth is that they are all working. They've never been driven from job, but not even a house to build. The mysteries of the kingdom. There is no favor. The heavens are closed. So many believers operating under closed heaven. There are many ministries. They are so tight, no supplies. They beg for everything. Squeeze people, put people, workers and all of that under every kind of pressure. Because the man of God is not tithing. The people are not tithing. The ministry is not tithing. Dr. Mike Murdoch was sharing and he said there was a time the finance of his ministry was going down. It was going down so bad and he checked. And then he called the finance department. He said, something is wrong. We are not doing something right. What is wrong? Hallelujah. And the financial secretary said, well, sir, for about 3 months now, we've not been paying tithe because the bills are enormous. And honestly, if we have to pay tithe, we may shut you down from TV and all of that. And my brother said, because of that,
you stop paying the tithe, that means we are going to crash to zero. The day we stop paying tithe as a ministry, I give you 1 to 2 months. It will never happen. That's why I have the confidence to say, maybe one day you come and you just see no fuel for generator or no chairs. No. As surely as the God of heaven lives, we have created a system that does not depend on our personal emotions again. Is someone learning something? Is your heavens open? Pastor, is your heaven open? Over your family. There are many people who do not tithe. They pay school fees, 250 naira. The child, brilliant boy, is coming back with one dull result. 0, 0, 0, 0, 39, 41. That's the average. What is happening? All kinds of witchcraft activities flying freely because the heavens are closed. Are you getting blessed with what I'm saying? You want to secure favor with God? You must be faithful. We've not talked about favor with men, no. And that's really where I want to dwell tonight. That's why I'm rushing. I'm not teaching on finances, so I'll stop here for you. We are going to pray just in 1 minute before we continue. Many of us need to repent because the financial stress in our family is not because of the job. It's not. It's not because they didn't promote your father. I'm telling you the truth. If we don't take responsibility, we will keep giving. It's easy to blame people for our financial predicament. Are you getting my point? It's so easy. If that they promoted me, I would have been collecting 200,000 now instead of 150. My life would have been better. So wrong. So wrong. You collect 1 million under a closed heaven and you will see the way the devil will make a caricature of your life. Lift up your voice in 1 minute and say, Lord, I repent. Be sincere with yourself. Some of us need to pray on behalf of our families. Please be sincere. Lord, I've not been faithful tithing. I don't know what it is, oh God, but I find out that it's so hard. I've not had the revelation. I'm not yet convinced. I think it's a gimmick by a man of God or a ministry. I think it's just a gimmick. Koinonia is trying to squeeze out money from me. No. Go ahead and pray. Because there are many of us, no matter how many miracle services you come, I'm telling you, the heavens are closed. The heavens are closed. There is no favor with God. That's why the doors that were open before, they are not even open again. Be sincere with yourself. There were strange manifestations of favor from God. They are not even there again. Your shop that used to sell, nothing is selling again because you think you don't tithe for your business. Now the heavens are closed. Look at many of our parents. You buy a new gadget, you bring the machine, everything breaks down. This is the devourer, brothers and sisters. Let's take responsibility tonight and say, Lord, we cry for help. The finance of families are finished because of paying for drugs and sicknesses, paying for damaged cars, paying for all kinds of things. Pray and say, Lord, I want your favor. From tonight, I repent. I receive the giving grace to be a delightsome tither. I realize that this is the key. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you read. I don't care what your level of anointing is. I don't care how hardened your heart is. If you want to experience favor with God, I'm telling you, one of the keys is you must be a consistent tither. You must design a system around your life. If there are needs in your life, that's the more reason to tithe. Don't say the needs are too much. Man of God, is because you don't know. I have so much needs. I must do this and that. Tithe your way out of that trouble. Tithe your way out of that trouble. Eating your tithe will only get you deeper. I promise you,
You can apply every business principle you know. Fail to tithe and watch the devourer scatter your life and your family. But you be faithful towards tithing and watch God turn any situation around. It doesn't take time. Commit God into your life. Anything God is involved in must succeed. Many of us, God is not committed in the affairs of our lives. I don't want to know what you are going through now. Tithe your way out of it. Secure the favor of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please let me challenge you. Create a system. If you do internet banking, you can have the account details of the ministry or whatever, or if it is here, you type the ministry's account details are available to. If you do internet banking, transfer it immediately. Otherwise, buy envelopes. Buy envelopes. I always have a stash of envelopes. Praise God. The treasurer is here. We created a system. I don't even see the tithe. As it is counted, we take it and sow it to the appropriate ministry. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me. Are you not tired of what you have seen your loved ones go through? Didn't they go to school? Didn't they get all the degrees? Look at everything. See how helpless people are. Because they know not, neither will they understand. And the Bible says they grope in darkness and the earth is out of course. Told us that the principle of seed faith is not just bringing money out and dropping it. It's not even just tying an expectation. That seed faith is a principle that was tied to resurrection. That means that you can kill anything by tying its life to the seed and burying them together. And when that seed dies, whatever was tied to it dies too. You can tie your pain, you can tie a season you want to close in your life to a seed. And as the seed dies, that season also dies. And another season comes with that resurrection. It's a powerful mystery. Now, many people have sown seeds. You see, in this kingdom, you are not empowered by your action. You are empowered by the understanding that supports your action. You can do many things that have the semblance of obedience and yet not receive the blessings attached to it because your understanding towards it is unfruitful. Many people, there are several seeds scattered here, and now it's important to know that seed faith is powerful. Most people do it because they believe someone who taught them who is doing it, but it's important for us to walk with convictions, have convictions, a strong persuasion. You can sow your pain with a seed and resurrect joy with the harvest. It's a principle that works. You can close seasons in your life. There's all kinds of things happening in your office. You can tie that situation to that seed. And that's why I observed yesterday that it is dangerous to steal money in church. Because you don't know what was tied to the money that was dropped. To you, you just see 1,000 naira, $100, and you pick it quickly. But you just picked a seed with a problem that has not died. The problem is still alive with the seed. So when you find someone stealing in church, it's not even an issue to quarrel the person. The person needs to go for a retreat because he's already in trouble by default. When you follow through with the spiritual laws that govern wealth and abundance, favor with men, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, and Jesus grew, the Bible says, in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. Favor with God and men. Favor with God and men. The proof of favor is not money. The proof of favor is the loyalty of the hearts of men towards you. Are we together? Very important. Favor. What is favor? Someone inconveniencing himself to see that you move forward. That's favor.
when people can bend over backwards to see to it that you make progress with no strings attached, that's favor. Because you see, I have always said it and I will continue to say that everybody who blesses you has relatives who are in the blessing. Many of you who follow Dr. Copeland, you would have heard him talk a lot about the blessing. And I've been blessed by people's perspective of the blessing, but I think that it's not been explained satisfactorily. There's nothing mystical as it were about the blessing. The blessing is more than an anointing. The blessing is more than a pronunciation. The blessing is a dimension of the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon a man that begins to cause that man to operate magnetic properties. The same way you know a magnet, it wields upon an individual a force of attraction, compelling men, compelling resources, and programming circumstances that ensure that your life becomes the Garden of Eden. That is the assignment of the blessing. You can know you carry the blessing not just because you were prayed upon. The circumstances that have been drawn to your life, good things are delayed until you show up. That's the blessing. If you are not there, circumstances will seem to act themselves, waiting until you come. That was what Daniel carried into the lion's den. It was not just the presence of the angel. Something upon him invited the angel to that pit and then made the lions to be at peace. The blessing is very powerful. Is a grace, an operation of the Holy Spirit upon a man. Business people call it the law of attraction. It's an attempt because they noted in their dealings, in their study of economy and commerce, they noticed that certain human beings seem to exhibit magnetic properties. So they started calling people money magnets. They started calling people and all of that, and they brought forth what we call the law of attraction. And for those of you who are science-based, you would have studied something that a dear man in history who contributed in no small way to science, called Sir Isaac Newton. In his study of mechanics, he came up with certain laws, and he called it the law of gravitation. Is that true? Yes. He noticed that it looked like everything you are looking for is also looking for you. That there is a constant attraction between bodies. He was not lying. All of these things are scientific attempts to explain this mystery that can be upon a man. The same way something can be upon you that makes sure anything good becomes bad. This is what people call bad luck. Bad luck is not a phenomenon, it's a reaction. There is something upon you that insists that everything good leaves you. When you bless a man who carries that atmosphere, it's a waste of time. Something must orchestrate itself to see to it that pain resumes in your life. Are we together? The blessing. You can carry it. Every territory is alive. It knows those who carry this grace. And once they are within the confines of that territory, that magnetic property begins to occur. So you find out someone who should travel stays back, not knowing why he stayed back. There is a central control system manipulating men, insisting that those to be blessed be blessed. Abuja is a good land. The earth here is a good land. There is an increase. The Bible says the increase of the earth is for all. That even the king is fed by it. If the earth has not yielded its increase, it is because something upon you is speaking to the earth to reject you. Are we together? Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Please say it. Say in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that the blessing is upon me. Say it, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that the blessing is upon me. Attracting men, attracting opportunities, programming circumstances. Please sit down. This is how it works. The constant concept of greedy and stingy people is a relative statement. Nobody is really greedy. Let me tell you, just because people do not bless you doesn't mean they cannot give. Someone will refuse to give you 10 naira and yet carry a car to someone else and say, can I have the honor of giving it to you? So was that man greedy? No. What is upon you is what controls what is around you. Please find a way of believing this. Everything around you is a report card. It's telling you what is on you. And then when it changes, it also tells you what has changed. Thou anointest my head with oil, but the proof of that anointing is seen in my cup. You don't anoint my cup. It is my head you anoint, but my cup shows what is on my head. So what is in my cup tells the kind and the quality of what is upon my head. If my cup is empty, the problem is not the cup, not the business, not the job, is what is on you. Thou anointest my head with oil, and then I know what is on my head by what happens around my cup. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So never forget favor. Favor is powerful, very powerful. In this kingdom, who hates you does not matter, but who likes you matters. A king hates a woman and she stops becoming queen. A king likes another woman, she becomes queen immediately. Saul loves Mephibosheth, and in a moment he's asked to sit with him at the palace. And Ziba, who was sent to Lodebar, had 15 sons. And yet the king did not call 15 handsome, agile boys. Favor is powerful. Nobody gives to you just because they love you. They are compelled by a system that is beyond this realm. There is a name God is called, the Father of Spirits. He is able to manipulate spirits according to his counsel to bless you. Hallelujah. When the prophet prophesied over Samaria and said, by this time tomorrow, notice that when he said that, the Spirit of God started hovering round, and it came upon four lepers, and they started having the urge to communicate with themselves. Let us go. That's how the Spirit of prophecy works. So when a word comes, be blessed, and you say amen, the way it works is that the spirit of wisdom that is released in honor of that prophecy starts going around the region where you live and starts looking for the human actors that must make that word come to pass. You get how it works? This is how prophecy works. So if I say in the name of Jesus, be lifted, and you say amen, if I'm truly anointed and God is honored in that statement, the spirit of wisdom that proceeds from that word will start going around Abuja from city, from region to region, finding men who are aligned enough to partner with the Holy Spirit. And there are too many men. Everybody will not say no. The Bible says, how forcible are right words. There is a compelling power. Someone somewhere will agree with God. That is why when you tie your life to a man and say, I'm finished, it's an insult to God. Because there are, how many people are on earth now? 7.2 billion people. That's enough. If you're a movie director, you know that's too many actors. God can use anybody. When a man beats his chest and says, without me, God says, nonsense. Let me use another person. I am still Abba. I can use anyone to bring my word to pass. Are we together? You have to understand how this thing works so that you can defend your blessing. Because let me tell you something. I'll be showing you something shortly. Many people, when they see the blessing of the Lord upon a man's life, and this is one of the challenges of successful people, when they look around your life and they cannot find the requisite level of systems that should warrant that kind of blessing, they begin to suspect. They do not know that spiritual things do not operate like natural things. How did you suddenly become 100 million naira richer by a weekend? Which business did you do? And then the person says, will you believe me when I explain it to you? That is something that is upon me. Say, no, I don't believe that nonsense. So it's important that you are able to defend the blessing of God upon your life. So that when people look at you after this service and say, yesterday we ate together, what suddenly happened? When has Saul become one of the prophets? You will say, Saul met Samuel. I know that I left my house as a miserable gentleman on my way to rescue my father's donkey, but I met Samuel and he spoke something to me. Samuel blessed Saul and told him, you will see three people, both of them or all of them holding two loaves of bread. They will bow to you and give you, as though they didn't know what to do with it. The Bible says a good man, look up please, the Bible describes a good man in many ways. It says a good man, part of the indices that is used to measure the goodness of men is his ability to leave an inheritance for his children's children. Africa, hear me, this is where our problem is. We have disobeyed this scripture for many centuries. There are many good men, but there is hardly transgenerational wealth in Africa. Are we together? The lifespan of anything is less than a century in most parts of this nation and most parts of Africa. And so every young man starts from ground zero. In fact, others start from minus. You have to pay the debt that was owed before you start. Now, it's a very serious issue we're discussing. Are we together? The Bible says you know a good man when he secures his grandchildren before he dies. This is a system that is being practiced in places like Israel even till today. That means you are poor until your grandchildren can live off your blessing. Then when you live with honor. Then the next person, like that. But notice that the graph of wealth in Africa is always this way. You plateau somewhere, maybe at the apex of your profession while you are working, and then at retirement or whatever happens, you just go down, and sometimes you go down to look like your past. Praise the Lord. So a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's important that we learn these principles so that the body of Christ is empowered, so we can have the time to be able to serve the purposes of God and birth the revival that has been long spoken about. Praise the Lord. Please look at me. Anybody you find ignoring the issue of finances is either ignorant or he's about to learn a lesson. Look up, please. You know, many times when we talk about the issue of finances, because of the propensity of the flesh and carnality around it, most people just reject it as a show of spirituality. They reject it to show how serious they are with God. That state is very faulty. It may be a well-meaning communication, but people who adopt that model will punish a generation. We do the things that we do because we are looking beyond ourselves. As you are listening to this now, think of your children, married or not. As you are listening to this, think of your grandchildren. Don't gather people when you are about to leave and tell them, you see how my life is and all of that. No, it should be in honor. There are many children today inconveniencing families, inconveniencing nation. Terrorist groups leverage on this carelessness to recruit people. And it's not, we cannot just generically say revival is coming. We must deal with the details that empower darkness. And let me tell you, chiefest among them is this financial issue, this demon of money. People have died driving because they were broke. They were driving and forgot that there was a tree in front of them and died. Marriages have been broken today because of money. What armed robbers could not do, what relatives could not do, money came and cheaply caused that divide. Many pastors who started well, loving God with all their hearts, they were compelled to compromise on their values, not because they backslidden, the reality of bread to eat. Don't please don't allow ignorant people make you think that this is just some Pentecostal talk about money. Not everybody is foolish. We are discussing this from a balanced kingdom angle. People who love God and are doggedly committed to seeing His glory come. Please, let's not mix everything and confuse what we are saying here. Are we blessed? Yes. Many families, many extended families are at loggerheads today because of properties, because of land, mundane things. They would not gather together to call upon the name of the Lord. They gather to blame people. How many wives have killed their husbands so they die fast? How many husbands have killed their wives? How many children today, young people in Nigeria, they continue to anticipate the death of their parents because it looks like it's the cheapest way of stepping into these things. Look at the kidnapping that is almost becoming an industry now. Why will I do business and get 100 naira when I can steal a man and in 1 week I become 10 million naira richer? And don't you think people will keep quiet if they see that it's lucrative? We will lose our children if we ignore this. We will lose a generation if we ignore this. Many people today have married outside of the will of God. Money directed them outside of the will of God into their predicaments. There are many young men that would have married since they found their life partners more than a decade ago, but lack of money, the money for introduction is not even there. Listen, are you aware that less than 10% of graduates haven't spent 5 years, 6 years, others 10 years in any institution at all? There is no guarantee for a good job. There are graduates pushing gates today all around the world. What makes you think if they find an opportunity to compromise, they will not bend? They will bend in a heartbeat. They will bend praying in tongues. I'm provoking you for a reason. That's the only way to make you believe what I'm about to say. Are we together? You know, sir, someone met me one time and told me that someone had told him that they were recruiting for a job. True story. And that they said for the person to get the job, the person will have to bring 250,000 as some kind of incentive. It's a story I was told. If you have 200,000, will you be looking for 250,000 to now bribe? Let me tell you, how you enter a realm is how you will be maintained there. If you compromise to get in there, you will be compelled to compromise. We are talking of the blessings of God with the dignity of kingdom integrity. Hallelujah. Many people today have died who should not have died. Very cheap medical procedures that could be carried out. And they died, and we said that's the plan of God. Many of our children may not have the privilege to go to good schools. Not because there are no schools. But you go to a school where the teacher and the student are both arguing about the answer. Now, this is the kind of, look at the child. I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The teacher says it's 5. The child says, no, it's 4. And the man says, okay, it's 3, it's 4. Let me check again. Now, look at the kind of person. Now, watch this. We're talking about leaders of tomorrow, and we're very vocal about it. But look at the person controlling the understanding of your child. You ask the child, what do you want to become? He says, an aeronautic engineer. That's almost impossible already with that kind of foundation. It's not just a demonic attack. Please, while you are seated, in 1 minute, can you blast in tongues and say, Lord, change my life. I came for a shift. I have seen the evil and the disaster that lack and poverty brings to my life, to your program. This is not lust. It's not carnality. It's a drive to see His kingdom come. It's a drive to see territories transform. Shalapakaske brahaska de balas. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Psalm 112. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commands. The Bible says his seed. You are not great when your seed is not great. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. Then it says the generation. Notice the progression. The man first, then his seed, then the generation that comes from him. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commands. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, not just in heaven. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Then it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. A testimony. You, your children. Yes. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So let's deal with a few of the natural laws, and I want you to please pay attention in the name of Jesus. The first natural law that governs wealth and abundance, and let me observe the protocol I did as I did yesterday. I know that there are great veterans of business here. There probably may be lecturers in business schools and all of that. I do not in any way mean to insult your pedigree. I respect you and what you represent, your labor over the years, but I will plead in the name of Jesus that we pay a bit of attention to the truths that I communicate. The truths that I communicate are not just my opinions. They are not just revelations that came from heaven directly. They are also years of careful mentorship from people who have results that follow. The Bible says to follow them who through faith and patience have obtained, not are obtaining. What we seek to get is already someone's testimony. And so it's important that we respect these things. It's a pathway. Jeremiah 6:16. It says to stand and to watch and to ask, 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 ask of the ancient part. And that when you find it, walk therein. And he promises you that you will enter your Sabbath. You will find rest. Hallelujah. The first law, the first natural law of wealth and abundance is called the law of mental transformation. Please write it down. The law of mental transformation. It's amazing that when people are talking about the blessings of the Lord, the first thing they talk about is business, investments. All of that is only a programming of severe casualties and punishment when your mind is unfruitful. The law of mental transformation. Proverbs chapter 23, please, and verse 7. Let's rush so that we can make progress tonight. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh, please look up, the word heart there is often changed with mind. For as he thinketh in his heart, he didn't say so he will become, he said so he is already. As he thinketh in his heart, as he thinketh in his mind, the summation of your belief systems, your paradigm, your level of enlightenment, the Bible says you are it, not you will become it. This is very, very important. Psalm 78, please, and verse 41. Psalm 78 and verse 41. The psalmist gave us a very powerful information. He said, verse 41, Psalm 78. He says, yea, look up, please. They turned their back and tempted God. And did what? They limited the Holy One. Now, this is a dangerous scripture. Please leave it there. God is unlimited. God should not be limited. This is a statement that is almost not correct. And yet the Bible says a man can limit God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That means that my mind can limit the potentials of God. So that what you see in and through my life is not a true reflection of what God can do. It's a reflection of the allowance that my paradigm and my understanding has allowed. Watch this. When you go to turn on a tap, how many of you know that there's so much water, so much volume, but if I turn it just a little, it will continue to drip. It can take almost 3 hours to fill a bucket. That's not the potential of the water board. That's not the potential of the tap. It's a reflection of the allowance. The water board must make do with the provision that I gave. And if that tap is you, then there is no mystery behind the scarcity of the operation of the blessings of God upon our lives. Are we together, please? The law of mental transformation. There are many well... Now, this is where the problem is, sir. Especially for those of us who love God. Those who are serious. It's a very serious issue. Because we have been mentored largely. Now, I'm speaking to the body of Christ. We have been mentored to focus on our spiritual development as the only index for growth. So, your prayer, your fasting, your night vigil, that's very important. And we downplay the relevance of working on your mind. We make it look as though once your spirit is alive, forget about what happens to your mind, forget about what happens to your body. Just discuss with the realm of the spirit and end there. This is the fallacy that has bred the superstitious belief of Africa. So we fast, correct. We pray, correct. We teach people to be chaste, to be holy, to be true, correct. But we do not know. Watch this. I'm going to show you a scripture that will bless you. That your destiny is a reflection of your understanding. You don't make money off business. You don't make money off a shop. You make money off your understanding. And if your understanding is unfruitful, you are in trouble. I say this respectfully, especially to we the men and women of God around Africa that God has granted grace to mentor and lead people. When people settle in our churches, in our groups, our communications are mind-controlled methods. And it's important we expose the people to the whole counsel of God. Not just perspectives we are used to. Not just perspectives that were denominationally inclined. I say this respectfully with a burden for the body. Otherwise, we will continue confessing things we will never see. The law of mental transformation. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Go with me, please, to Genesis 11. Let's read scripture. Genesis chapter 11. Let's start from verse 2. Is someone getting blessed? And we're standing here only because you move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power, you perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible, and we're standing here only because you made. Now watch this. Genesis 11. You are going to see a scripture that has no mention of demons. You are going to see a scripture that has no mention of Satan. And yet you will watch something in this scripture that will teach us a very instructive lesson. Are you ready, please? The Bible says, and it came to pass. This is the story of Nimrod, the son of Cush. Are we together now? The Bible says, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. We're reading to verse 5. The Bible says, they said to one another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. They made bricks for stone and slime they had for mortar. Verse 4. And they said, now watch this. Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Twice. First in your mind, when it is built here, it is impossible for it to not be built. Sit down, believers. And we're standing here only because the Lord. Now, if he said an angel, we may say it's the angel of the devil. And the Lord, he uses his personal name, Yahweh, left heaven, his throne, and came down to say someone is building. They had not started the construction, but in the realm of the spirit, a tower was rising already. You may be in your little room, my brothers and sisters, whereas God is building the estate in your mind, and you think you are not making progress. Listen to me, please look up. Anything you hold physically that was not built there, you only held a rubber ring, it will return. It must live your life. Herein lies the fallacy of living a fake life, because you are only wasting your time. There must be a registration of that possibility in your mind. This is not metaphysics. This is not Christian science. This is the principle of the kingdom. So while you are in your room, your mind is building the church. The members are coming. The crusades are happening. And you are dreaming with God in your room. And it looks like, you see, this is where ignorant people who are not of the faith will look at you and say, you are not making progress in your life. What kind of person are you? You are not moving. And we say, I may not be moving, but I'm building. Building. You've been in Abuja for 2 years. You are not doing anything. And God says, you really think you are not doing anything? You are building a mall in your mind. Every time you study those materials, an expansion is happening. Listen, I give you a guarantee in the name of honesty. Whatever is built here will be built. Please sit down. Let's help ourselves to rise intentionally, so that we can defend what happens to us. It is true that is the grace of God, but when you are blessed, we will not speak like foolish people. If you know how God brings the blessings upon you, you will be able to help others rise. That's why stealing and looting is a terrible way to becoming wealthy, because there is no pathway to mentor another person into it. Are we together? Verse 6. Please give us verse 6, media. Help us. Now watch this. The Lord said, behold. Please look up, please. The people is one. Who is speaking now? Your God. And they all have one language. And this they begin to do. Now physically, they have finished it in the realm of the spirit. They are about to start it. And hear the testimony that God is giving about men who are built. He says, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined. Please sit down. These guys were not born again. These guys did not have the advantage of the Holy Spirit. This is fallen man. When God tells you nothing can restrain a man, he would have searched by his intelligence. What can restrain these people? And you're standing here only because. Ephesians chapter 3. The law of mental transformation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 20. Please, let's hurry up, so that we can cover much tonight before we pray. God is changing someone's life. Please look up. Can you read it with me? It's projected. Ready? One, to read. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. Read on. Abundant. All we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Please keep that scripture there. You would have heard me make this example again and again. If I say sit here or here, it means either places have equal value. Are we correct now? Sit here or here. Drop your prayer request here or here. It means that one does not seem to have any advantage above another. And the Bible says that God can do what we ask and can do what we think. Not ask and think. That means there are two prayer warriors in your life, your mouth and your mind. They are both praying. Please sit down. Sit down. While your mouth is confessing, Lord, lift me. Your mind is saying, Lord, forget about what I just said. And the Bible says that God is able to do the requests that come from your speaking and the requests that comes from your thinking. Look at me. So could your situation today be an answered prayer? Could it be the prayer request your mind prayed? And your mind said, forget about all the shouting I shouted in church. Lord, just my current desire is that I remain poor. The Bible says God is able to do exceeding. Africa, we are a people of prayer. I'm a person of prayer. We are a people who love God. But we have trained the prayer request, the prayer warrior that speaks, and starved the prayer warrior that thinks. This is only the first law. The law. Apostle, if all I have is capital and a little shop, I know I will be okay. It's a very, very sociological, very empathetic disposition, but you will never rise that way. The law of mental transformation. The lamb was slain twice according to scripture. Number one, he was slain from the foundations of the earth. Number two, he was slain in his lifetime. Please look at me. If you can show me what you are building with the Holy Spirit, I show you something that no power in existence will ever be able to stop. Growing up years ago, Pastor, the hand of God will come upon me and I will run to the back of our house somewhere there, and I will just hold the mic and I'm preaching all to myself and sweating, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon me, and I'm seeing people, and I'm laying hands on benches, and I didn't know I was building. Let me tell you this. That's why when God wants to help you, he will allow you go to bed, then he will take part of your future and plant it. You are supposed to incubate what you just saw. You went to bed, suddenly you are in a crusade ground. You are standing before thousands of people. You are ministering under a strange influence of the Spirit. You get up and you just laugh it away and say, man must work. And we begin some of these things that we do, and you stifle something that would have been the foundation of a great destiny. Your mind. So the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. You see the reason why watching nonsense, exposing, I say this respectfully, and God sees my heart, I say it from a standpoint of love. But our generation, especially our generation of young people, we're in trouble. Our minds are already programmed to fail. The addictiveness of social media, when not guarded, is why many people are dull today. You notice their IQ has gone down naturally. The concentration span of the average young man is not more than 2 minutes. After 2 minutes, they are distracted because they have been rewired to make sure you are checking something every minute. So the sense of focus to learn is no longer there. That includes hearing from God. It's why we hear truth plus nonsense and join it together and call it revelation, because it takes time. Are we blessed? I hope you still love me. The law of mental transformation. There's too much noise in our world. There's too much distraction. The average person cannot start a task and finish it in 30 minutes. You start a task and after 2 hours you are watching a movie, you are doing something. These things are, I'm telling you, the level of distraction is why our pockets continue to remain empty. You call it a shift. Mental transformation. The Bible says, by the truth. Then it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 that you permit this mind to be in you. That means there was a belief system, there was a construction of understanding that made the Holy Spirit comfortable in Jesus. It was not just because he was the Son of God. He says to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was not just the Word who became flesh, the Spirit inside a body. He had a mind. At age 12, when his colleagues were playing, he was in the temple building the construction, the belief construction that will allow the Holy Spirit to be comfortable. And theologically speaking, for 18 years, we do not hear anything about Jesus again. The next time he shows up, he's 30 years. He's not just a handsome young man ready to start ministry. He's a young man who had taken the Word into the Word and had now become ready. When Satan came, he said, "It is written." Subconsciously, just came out. Ask anybody who prospered intentionally, they will tell you neglecting your understanding and your paradigm is a recipe. It will veto any kind of hard work and insist that you return to your past.
Mental prosperity will bring you to a place where no gender barrier, no religious barrier will stop you. There are some things they cannot just do without you. The whole world stood still for Nelson Mandela. He was not just a human rights activist. That guy was a brilliant man. Hallelujah. God is speaking to someone. Have you been neglecting your mental prosperity? You want to go into business. What do you know about business? Nothing. Name 5 top business people, both in the kingdom and around, who are doing anything. I don't know. All I just know is that I will sow a seed. And my God, Jehovah Shapshap, the one who can break protocol. Listen. That kind of teaching only makes men of God prosperous. It doesn't make members prosperous. That's why everybody wants to be a pastor. Because based on that template that is given, when you raise people who are mentally prosperous, they will be blessed. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be smart. The Bible says when they called Daniel and all the other people, he articulated a level of mental prowess that was 10 times better. 10 times better. And he reigned through the dispensation of 3 kings. Nobody removed him. Lay your hands on your head, everybody, and prophesy to yourself. Say, in the name of Jesus, I will develop my mind. In the name of Jesus, I contend for mental prosperity. I study books and resources that empower my mind along the area of destiny.
Hallelujah. God is saying, sit down. You are saying, God, for how long? God is saying, if you knew where I'm taking you, you will start rejoicing. Because one step in knowledge will cover up 10 years of foolishness.